It's the Booty and the Hofish Radio Show.
On the U90 Alternative KUMM.
You are listening to the U90 Alternative KUMM Morris on the air at 89.7 FM and streaming audio on the internet at www.kumm.org. KUMM is a proud member of IPR, Independent Public Radio. This is Phil, and I'm also joined by both Norris. Please introduce yourself.
Hello.
That is Norris, who is my guest host today. We should probably reintroduce you. We'll do that in a second. And I'm also joined right now by Amanda.
Hey, guys.
Okay. We're going to get right now into my favorite segment. First, let's play the legal disclaimer. Are you guys ready for this? I want to get confirmation from both of you before I play the legal disclaimer.
Are you telling me there are rules?
Are you ready?
Yeah, I got it.
Yes.
Norris, talking to the mic.
Yeah, I got it.
You sure?
I got it.
Okay, let's go.
All opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the hosts and or guests and do not represent KUMM, its executive staff, or the regents of the University of Minnesota.
Oh my gosh. Not only is that really weird, but we had people dancing and some clothes coming off in the studio. That was intense. All right. We are doing the video game news. This is brought to you by www.evilavatar.com. And I should point out we have a couple other people I should thank. Our podcast producer, Justin Heron. Our online producer, Nat Keelan. No, Justin Heron. I got that wrong.
And you said you wouldn't.
I
heard you
up.
Say that.
Okay. Justin Heron, our podcast
Loser.
Producer. Nat Keelan, our online producer. And we also get web space thanks to Jeff Fool of the EvilAvatar.com community. So big thanks to all of them. Big thanks to the Evil Avatar community in general for making this possible. And let's get on with the show. First, because you guys are new to the whole segment and you'll be joining us, I want to get a little bit of an introduction from both of you, especially Amanda, since you'll be joining me a lot from this point out.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
So let's see, Amanda, what is your video game experience? Like, what is your history with video games? Where do you stand currently with gaming? Introduce the Evil Avatar community to your stance on games.
I'm almost a little embarrassed to talk about this. When Super Nintendo was cool, yes, we're going way back, that's when I did a lot of gaming, and then I decided to be a hyper-tense perfectionist and put away my Nintendo for a long time.
Here's where you went wrong. You could have been a hypertense perfectionist with video games, and you could have become one of the best female gamers in the world easily. Like, you could have become perfect at everything.
Guys, I'm young. There's
you still
lots
time.
Of time for
You're
me
right.
to be perfect.
You're right. You're right.
I'm so close anyways. I'm being laughed at. Fair enough. That's probably true. Lately, I've taken up a lot of music games. Phil has gotten me hooked on Guitar Hero. Mm-hmm. New Year's, I went to visit him, and I literally threw a fit when he was... my goal was to get half of his score, and I was failing. But since then...
She fell to the ground and refused to move. No, she didn't break one of my guitars.
I really wanted to.
Norris, you need to talk into the mic when you're talking.
But now I do have to say that I'm pretty sure I have beat more songs than Phil on hard level of Guitar Hero.
Yeah, but that's because I've been concentrating on getting five stars on everything. So
okay, well, on medium I have two songs left.
Yeah, something
two
like
or three?
That. I don't know.
I got a few more.
I
this
have
week.
One,
and I also got Amplitude from Phil this last week or so, and I've started playing that, and it's really a lot of fun. They have a garbage song on there, and I'm a huge fan.
And that's by the makers of Guitar Hero, so. They basically just make awesome music games, and Amanda likes them.
I like them. I was a music person in high school.
Yes. And Norris, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about where you stand with gaming. Obviously, I think you're a little more hardcore than Amanda.
Only a little. Back in the day, I played Game Boy.
You still play
Pokemon.
Game Boy.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You still play Pokemon.
I got 150 of those little...
That's
rats.
Depressing.
So, I have a perfect game on there. I'm thrilled about that. But
do you have them all up to the highest level?
Yeah, but I cheated.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Anyway, and then I play a lot of first-person shooters, and I dabbled in City of Heroes, City of Villains, and I'm currently working on World of Warcraft.
Yeah, you are playing a lot of World of Warcraft. Norris is actually one of the two people who is slowly but surely drawing me back into World of Warcraft, and I'll probably be playing a lot this summer.
Amen.
Amanda doesn't seem as happy about that, but that's okay. All right, before we get into the news, I want to remind everybody that we have a contest going, and that contest is still going for 2 weeks. It's our first ever Evil Avatar News Podcast, News Radio Podcast Contest. And it's very exciting. Yes, Amanda?
I believe there's some fun goodies involved for the contest winner.
Are big prizes. What we're looking for is a theme song for the Evil Avatar podcast. And we are looking for some of our listeners to create that theme song. We've had a couple entries. We could definitely use more. And what happens is at the end of 2 weeks, I think it's like the 28th of February is our cutoff date. And
I just realized that I have some hardcore gamer musicians back at home who are currently writing music.
Let them know. Let them know. So we're looking for a theme song. You can send it to our brand new podcast email address, which is evilavatarnews@gmail.com. And basically, we will listen on the 28th. We will listen to all of the people. We will announce the winner the next show, which is that Friday, like the 2nd or 3rd, I think, of March.
That would be spring break here.
Would it really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe I won't be here that way. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyways, but we will announce it whenever the next show is after the 28th. And Amanda's ruining my night.
I might just leave you here in Morris for spring break.
That's not true.
I'll take my car and go.
You wouldn't do that.
Would I?
You wouldn't leave me in Morris. That's terrible. What a horrible fate to consign me to.
You could play Warcraft all week.
I don't have an account. Otherwise, I'd stay. She's really offended.
I think you might be sleeping outside that week.
We shouldn't do the cute couple fighting on the air.
That's
silly.
That's true.
It's boring.
Just keep digging yourself deeper, man.
I'm trying. Okay, so you guys got to let me finish the contest thing. We're never going to get done with the news at this rate. So, okay, contest. Big news. The winner gets 3 video games for a prize. We're giving away Empire Earth for the PC, Ratchet & Clank for the PS2, and Ninja Gaiden for the Xbox. So 3 big games, and send in an entry. Come on, give it a shot. There's no reason not to, really. Obviously, we're looking for stuff that's not copyrighted, and I feel really alone. You guys aren't really... Say things.
We were just told that we're distracting you and keeping you from progressing at the appropriate pace.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you are.
So we're being cautious now in order
you should
not
say
to ruin things,
things. Though. Let's get into the news. How about that?
Peachy.
Okay. Our first story this week, this comes from GameSpot. Actually, like half of our stories come from GameSpot this week. I don't know what happened, but Lord British, a.k.a. Richard Garriott, the mind behind the popular Ultima series, was recently inducted into the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences Hall of Fame. GameSpot interviewed Garriott, and he said the 3 games he's most proud of are Ultima 4, Ultima 7, and Ultima Online, which is one of the earliest MMORPGs. You guys have any thoughts about Richard Garriott?
I've never met him, but he sounds like a very nice man.
You've never met him? Have you played any Ultima Online?
No.
Never?
Nope.
Wow. I actually feel sort of like I shouldn't have put this news in here. I don't think any of us have ever played any Ultima Online.
It was before my time.
Which is depressing. I had a friend, you remember Gary, right?
Yeah.
Gary loved Ultima Online, and he really tried to get me into it in high school, but I just couldn't get into it. I don't know. It didn't seem that appealing to me. So I hope maybe we have some Ultima Online fans who will call in. Anyways, Richard Garriott's been in the industry a long time, created a lot of games that are very well loved, so I guess he pretty much deserves that. So, okay.
Yay.
Okay. This next you're such a nerd, Norris. You've got to say that into the mic so people really like get a grip on your nerdiness and understand how nerdy you are.
I said slash cheer.
Oh, that's nerdy. Okay. let's keep moving. This next story is from Next Generation. They reported that at this year's DICE Summit, Peter Moore of Microsoft made a statement on the Xbox 360 shortage that has been plaguing consumers since the system's launch in November. Moore said that within 4 to 6 weeks, anybody will be able to walk into a store and buy an Xbox 360. He also said about the controversial launch in 3 territories near simultaneously that while there have been short-term shortages, we're driving a clear advantage as we go forward.
You say walk into a store. that's a quote there, a store.
Yeah.
That seems very vague.
I think he means a store that sells Xbox. This isn't a statement that requires intense analysis.
I think it maybe leaves them a lot of outs as far as availability goes.
So you're saying like they'll like six weeks from now they're gonna call up more and be like, how come we can't get 360s? And you're like, there's a store that's selling them.
I think there's
you could walk into it.
I think they're leaving themselves room for, you know. That's just how I'm interpreting this.
Wow. Wow.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah, I mean, the shortage has been very ridiculous and very drawn out. I'm really surprised at how drawn out it's been. Like, I really expected it would be over by this point, but apparently it's not. So, along with that, Moore also gave a lot of numbers about the 360's launch and how the 360 is done. For example, currently 54% of 360 owners are using Xbox Live, as opposed to 10% with the original Xbox. And there have been 4 million pieces of content downloaded from Live since the 360 launch, including 2 million from Xbox Live Arcade, which prompted Moore to call Live Arcade, quote, the Sundance of independent games.
Ooh.
How classy. I don't know if I agree with that yet, but I think there's a lot of potential, I guess.
I see that as a really good thing that so many people are getting involved with the Xbox Live. I think it could really change the way they do things in the future.
It could. I guess the thing that I have to keep in mind is that because 360s are so hard to get a hold of now, and because they're so expensive right away, you have to imagine that most of the people who've bought them at this point are the really hardcore gamers and the hardcore Microsoft fans. And those people, obviously, more of them are going to be on Xbox Live than, you know, casual gamers or, you know, less hardcore gamers. I'm wondering if, you know, once they're more available and once they're a little cheaper and once they've sold, you know, even more, if there will be that percentage will go down significantly. Because percentage, you know, that's not actual, like, hard number. That's just a percentage that can be very misleading.
Do you think you could get the hard numbers? Are those available somewhere?
Somewhere. I don't know. I wouldn't know where to look. So I could get the soft numbers, but I don't know about it. Okay. This next story is from GameCloud. A blog post from the former employee of Gizmondo Texas revealed that Gizmondo Texas, one of the few U.S. development studios for the now basically defunct Gizmondo handheld, has closed. It closed a couple weeks ago. Along with the recent liquidation of their European operations, Gizmondo is about as close to dead as can be possible. You guys have never heard of the Gizmondo.
What the Explain. Hell is Gizmondo?
Oh my god, that's awesome. See, this just goes to show how bad a system this was. How horrible an idea, how badly marketed, everything. Basically, the Gizmondo was a handheld. I barely even know anything about it. Honestly, I couldn't even really tell you what it looks like if people showed
Do
me
you
a
know
picture.
Of any games that they... play on a Gizmondo. I love the word.
I know that there was a space conquest or something like that, okay. Sort of strategy title, I think. I think the one of the draws that for the Gizmondo, draws, quote unquote, one of the ways that they marketed it was that it had GPS in it, I think. And so you could find your location, and supposedly they were going to try and work that into games somehow. And it just, it did not work so well. That was weird. What are you pointing at?
That was like the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
What? What is? Nora, speak into the mic, please.
That GPS thing is just the dumbest thing I've ever
heard
of in my life.
Like I said, supposedly they were going to try and work it into games somehow. I don't know if they ever did. I don't know how many people ever used their Gizmondo for GPS. I think I saw them do it on 1UP once on a video. I don't know.
Okay, so if anyone's listening and knows a little something about or is a fan of and wants to defend the Gizmondo,
I really doubt you'll find any fans anywhere. I'm sure there's people who've bought it, but even they, I think, will have a tough time defending
it. If you want to, like, call and be emo and cry about your Gizmondo, we maybe will listen.
Yeah, I'll listen. Another story from GameSpot. Final Fantasy VII Advent Children finally has a release date. Originally slated to come out in America in November, 2 months after the Japanese release, this movie sequel to arguably the most popular Final Fantasy game slipped into quiet and disappeared from radars. Square's finally announced that the film will be released in the U.S. on April 25th. It's rated PG-13 and will retail for $26.96 in both 2-disc DVD as well as UMD format.
I really hope that's a well-done film. I mean, you know, the game was so pretty, and
I think, and this is, I think, definitely going to hurt the sales, but I think anybody who is a hardcore Final Fantasy VII fan, hardcore enough fan that they wanted to see the sequel, has already downloaded the Japanese version with subtitles or imported it.
You said the price was $26.
$26.96, which is pretty spendy, but it's a two-disc set.
Okay.
I think it's the same for the UMD version, which isn't... The UMD is PSP, what plays on PSPs. And I don't think that has any of the special bonuses of the DVD version.
Aww.
But it costs just as much.
Ouch.
You still get to pay the bonus dollars. So yeah, I don't know. I think that basically anybody who wants to see this probably has seen it already, so I don't know how it's going to do with sales. I'll maybe throw it on my Netflix, because I'll be honest, I've seen it already.
Yeah, that and almost every other film ever made.
That's
what are
true.
You at? 230
Hey, listen,
movies?
This is what Netflix is for. But I'll probably throw it on my Netflix just to see the American version, but I don't know.
Are they going to release it in a different version, you think?
What do you mean?
Like, are they going to change it so that they have English, or is it
subtitles? No, they have English voice actors. They announced them as well, but I didn't write any down, unfortunately. But you can find the info at GameSpot very easily. All right, moving on. Another GameSpot story. Rare revealed in an answer to fan email that they are working on patches for both Perfect Dark Zero and Cameo. The only things they confirmed as far as what the patches contain is that there will be new Perfect Dark Zero maps, though they declined to say how many, and a co-op online mode for Cameo, which I think has been planned since the game was released. The two of the bigger Xbox 360 release titles are getting patches, which is pretty interesting.
I've played Perfect Dark Zero, and I will say that that is a very well put together game. And
you've played Perfect
Dark
Zero?
Play it again.
Really? People have 360s where you're from?
Oh yeah, in the dorms, I got the guy across the hall from me, and the two guys who live two doors down, they both have those two guys in one room both have their own Xbox 360, and
wow.
The guy across the hall has his own.
Listen.
Those are the only three on the as far as I know of, in my entire hall.
Okay, so do they both have Xbox Live, or all three of them?
Yes, they do, and they all play the World War II game. What is that?
Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, interesting. I've never played a 360 yet. I'm sort of jealous of you. You've gotten to play it, you said.
The controller's the same. It feels the same. The gameplay is very similar to Halo. I mean, it's...
Okay, interesting. Interesting.
The jetpack was fun.
I guess the really sort of big news here is that these are among the very first and biggest patches for console games, which is obviously very new. PC gamers are used to having patches, but not really console games. And it also kind of hints that maybe potentially developers could keep adding content for games after they're released for console, which is a nice thing if
it
works.
It'd be a big plus, I think.
Yeah, but also, it also means, of course, that developers could do what they do with PC games and release them with not all the bugs fixed and just say, well, we're going to patch it later, so... You know, there's pros and cons to this. Amanda, do you have any thoughts on patching in console games?
Not particularly.
Oh, shot down.
I've disappointed the listeners, apparently.
Yeah, you have. They want to hear your voice about things. They want to hear you say stuff.
You know, I will have a voice on some of the upcoming stories.
Good. I'm excited.
Promise.
All right, here's a really rather interesting one, especially... this is a really interesting one, especially for, I think, Amanda and I. We're in a class on totalitarianism right now, and I think this kind of connects to that. The video game Mark Echo's Getting Up, Contents Under Pressure has been refused classification in Australia, which basically means, since they won't classify, it means basically I think that it can't get published there, it can't get sold there.
For what reasons?
The OFLC, Australia's Review and Classification Board, said the game, quote, promotes the crime of graffiti. Atari Australia is currently planning to contest the decision.
Promotes graffiti.
And it's basically what the game is. You know, you've heard of, like, Mark Echo, like his clothing line, Echo.
Yeah.
The game, you play a graffiti artist in this sort of near-future totalitarian regime. And you're kind of part of the underground movement, and so you spray tags all over the town.
It scares me a little that we're, you know, that they're going to censor video games because they promote a certain thing because of the extent.
Not even censor. It's ban.
Worse.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk about games later in relation to, later on in the show with other things where we're talking about promoting certain behaviors, and if this gets taken to an extreme in the future, I think we're looking at some frightening totalitarian domination.
It's Australia that's doing it. So basically, oh. I think, and this is something I think that most evil avatar people already know, don't live in Australia. Okay, if you're from Australia and you disagree, please call.
Please call long distance.
Or send us an email, evilavatarnews@gmail.com.
Watch you get flooded.
I'm going to get flooded with flames. People hate me now. Okay, people from Australia do. Okay, let's move on. Reporting from Joystick, we have the story so nice that Evil Avatar reported it thrice. Look at that. That rhymes. No, this got reported on Evil Avatar. This got reported on Evil Avatar three times. Nintendo made the big announcement this week that the Nintendo DS handheld is receiving a couple very nice upgrades very soon. First off, they're going to release a web browser add-on from Opera that will allow you to surf the internet from your DS with the DS's wireless capabilities. And they will also be releasing a digital TV tuner add-on. No official word on whether or not these will be coming to the U.S., but chances look high.
Lots of new capabilities on that.
Surfing the internet with your DS. It's already possible with the PSP.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I've heard a lot of people complaining that the DS one, you have to buy the browser. Like, it's not something they can actually put into the system at this point.
Oh, okay.
So you have to buy, like, a game cartridge with the browser on it and use that. And it costs quite a bit. It was, like, $35, I think.
Okay.
So people aren't really sure if it'll be worth it. And the other thing is that since it's you're using wireless internet to do it, chances are if you're in a place with wireless internet, you're going to be in a place that has computers. So do you really want to be using your DS to surf the internet then?
It's probably not the most convenient means to do that.
It's really interesting, though. They're doing some interesting things, non-gaming things, with their handheld, which is pretty interesting to see what they have up coming up. I'm going to save this one for last. So I'm going to skip this one and move to the next one. This one's from the official PlayStation website. Their website was updated this week with the official specs on the PS3. And among the interesting things noted is that the PSP is listed under the controller section, and all storage media, including a hard drive, are apparently sold separately.
God damn it.
Norris, I don't know if you can say that on air. I mean, they could. Chances are, I don't know. Obviously, they haven't really announced anything yet. They're having a big thing at the Game Developers Conference. What? Don't do that. You don't. You're distracting me.
Don't look.
I can't not look.
Lizzie's just such a hottie over there. We have another guest in the back of the station.
She won't talk because she's true. Lame.
She's shy.
Lame. So anyways, about the storage thing, they could probably sell it with a hard drive, like, bundled in, you know?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I mean, they just haven't announced anything yet, but they're having a big presentation at the Game Developers Conference, which is next month, and they're supposed to make more official announcements on how they're going to market it and what the official specs are and everything at that. So potentially we'll learn some more. I think we have an email about that as well that I got a little earlier that we'll read off later. We'll come back to that, definitely. This next one is from Next Generation. A rumor from supposedly from, quote, well-placed industry sources, Sony's new online service made to match up with Microsoft's Xbox Live will be known as PlayStation Hub, and it will most definitely be fee-based, much like Live. So it'll cost something. Nobody's really sure whether or not it's going to be a monthly fee or a yearly fee like Live. I think Live is a yearly fee, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I think it's like $50 a year or something. Also, developer sources are suggesting a September launch for the PS3 in both Japan and the US.
Ooh.
And I guess the idea is that with a September launch, they would hopefully get through any shortage problems that they're going to have before Christmas. And then and they also wouldn't be as far behind Microsoft if they launched, because a lot of people thought they would launch about a year from when 360 launched, right before Christmas. But this way, that would give them a little bit more of a boost. So I don't know. I'm interested. We should find out more solid specifics at the Game Developer Conference next month, and definitely at E3. So,
well, I've never bought a console besides a Game Boy Advance, but
that's a handheld.
Well, fine then. I've never bought a console, so yeah. This, depending on how it goes, it could be my first console. I don't
really
know.
PS3, is that what you're thinking?
That's what I was thinking.
Really interesting. Why not a 360?
I hate Microsoft.
Oh, ooh. You're gonna get flames now. Why not a Why not a Nintendo Revolution?
I don't know. Nintendo's the main amount of their games that they've put out so far have been towards a much younger audience.
Oh, you are gonna get so many flames, Norris.
I don't care.
I personally,
that's the way I see it.
I personally disagree. I think that just because a game looks like something that a child could enjoy doesn't mean that it is marketed towards a child specifically. So, what is going on? You guys
Norris's fiance feels very differently about the Nintendo console, and she's making that pretty clear in a non-verbal nature.
She likes kitty games. Yeah, so
I like kitty.
Yeah, but I mean, so you guys, your point is moot. Because, I mean, they would still be kitty games. It's just that you guys like them.
I will admit, I like Smash Bros. I think that was a great
Smash
game.
Smash Bros. Is fantastic.
And Mario Kart.
Mario Kart is also fantastic,
my
agree. Okay, so let's keep going.
I'm
going
to get flamed hardcore.
You are going to get flamed hardcore. This is for Eurogamer. They had an interview with Uwe Boll, the brilliant director.
God, no.
No, listen. Uwe Boll, the brilliant director of such classic films as Alone in the Dark, House of the Dead, and Blood Rain.
Oh, God, no.
In the interview, Boll revealed that he is finally fed up with all the hatred he's received from the video game fans all over the internet and in video game-related publications. Boll claimed that most of the people making fun of him and his movies have never actually seen them, and that they merely have a personal vendetta against him. He also said, this is the best part, he also said that he knows lots of people who have said that Blood Rain is better than Underworld 2. And he knows tons of movies that are worse than Alone in the Dark and House of the Dead. Though, curiously, he declined to name any of them.
It doesn't matter that there are movies worse than them. It matters that his movies are still very, very bad.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Have you seen any Uwe Boll movies?
I saw the zombie one.
Alone in the Dark or House of the Dead?
What I think you need to
do, Alone in the Dark is zombies or not.
Is put one of his films on your Netflix queue, and we'll watch it in full.
Ooh.
And then continue to... We can give our same really horrible, but probably quite true opinions, and we can do it with the context of being fully informed and having watched an entire film. If we can
survive
through the
process. I don't know if I'm willing to waste the space on my Netflix queue.
Fair enough.
Actually, no, I'm planning to have, as soon as Uwe Boll has, another... two or three movies out on DVD, I'm planning to have a big Uwe Boll marathon over at the house.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Yay. It's going to be at Lisa and I's house. It's going to be fantastic.
I can't wait, personally.
You're going to come.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to invite everybody. Everybody who used to go to movie night, we're going to have a big Uwe Boll marathon. And I think it'll probably be the best thing we've ever done. Okay. So everybody's laughing for some reason. All right, let's keep moving. This is from Evil Avatar. All the results for the Evil Avatar Game of the Year reader polls have finally been compiled and announced.
Might be better than Pauly Shore Must Die.
No, I liked that movie. The big winners. Okay. The big winners, Mario Kart got handheld Game of the Year.
Yay.
Psychonauts pulled ahead for the Xbox. Shadow of the Colossus for the PS2, followed very closely by God of War. Norris, didn't you say that Shadow of the Colossus looked stupid?
Mm-hmm.
I think what you actually... no, this is what Wade said. I remember we were playing it... Shadow of the Colossus is great, by the way, Norris. And we were playing... You never played it.
That's right. I didn't.
We were playing it over New Year's, right? Or shortly after New Year's. And
Thanksgiving, maybe?
Before.
Yeah, and Wade said something really funny that I can't think of now. I'll figure it out later. Anyways, that was bad. Also, Civilization 4 for the PC, which Norris was just playing earlier this afternoon for the first time. And that was also very close. Almost got beat by Fear for the PC, which I've been trying to make you borrow, Norris. You should definitely do that. And the biggest winner by far was Resident Evil 4, which completely destroyed the GameCube polls. It had 90% of the votes, which is probably pretty obviously because not a lot came out for the GameCube that was worthwhile this year. So, surprise, surprise, I'm guessing the GameCube Game of the Year for 2006, I'm going to name it right now, Zelda Twilight Princess. Is that what it's called? Twilight Princess? I hope that's what it's called. Anyways, that's my guess. It's pretty accurate, so you can count on it. Come and tell me if I'm wrong in 2006, or when 2006 is over, I mean.
We'll hunt you down.
Yeah, but I won't be wrong, trust me. Mm-hmm. So this next one is from Gamers Reports. According to a Japanese website, Samsung has stated that they are already working on making flash memory for the PSP2. While obviously very early and still just a rumor, this would suggest that Sony is at least in the planning stages already for a sequel to their handheld, which is, once again, like I said, just a rumor. But you know what it was that Wade said? We were playing Shadow of the Colossus, and Tony was running along with... he was riding on the horse, and Wade turned to me and said, "This is like Seabiscuit 2.
I remember that.
And it was maybe, for me, it was like the defining thing with that game. So now, from now on, every time I play Shadow of the Colossus, I think of Seabiscuit 2. Okay. Seabiscuit with giants.
Well, it was when I saw it.
Okay. This next one is from Talk Xbox. Microsoft has reportedly made a deal with Points.com, whereby Microsoft points from Xbox Live will also be able to be used to purchase other things in the Points.com portal.
Other things.
Yeah, I honestly looked at Points.com. I couldn't really figure out what exactly it is that they do. It looked like they had like frequent flyer mile points, that kind of thing. But I don't know if there's anything more than that. Like, the suggestion in the article was that you'd be able to buy physical like items using Microsoft
and
points.
And I was wondering if that was console-related stuff, but you seem to think that it's completely unrelated to video games.
Yeah, like, well, obviously frequent flyer miles isn't related to video games.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess the idea was that you could have you could then have tournaments on Xbox Live and give away points as a prize, and you wouldn't just have to use the points to buy stuff on Xbox Live. You could transfer it and buy stuff, you know, other stuff, real world stuff.
Okay.
But if anybody has a clue what's actually on points.com, because I have no idea, you can call in, let us know. That would be awesome. All right, I have one final story. This is my favorite one of the week. By far, one of the most bizarre news stories I have heard in my life, probably.
Yeah.
I think.
Yep.
Norris, you're going to definitely want to comment on this one.
I do.
This is from GameSpot. The Sex Workers Outreach Project USA is asking parents to assist them in calling for a ban of Grand Theft Auto 3 because of its negative portrayal of prostitutes and behavior towards prostitutes in the game. The group claims that GTA 3 allows you to rape and murder prostitutes and that you get points for killing them, which are both kind of faulty and misleading statements because you actually can't rape prostitutes and you don't get points, although you can get cash. But you can get cash for killing anyone. Norris, you're a big fan of the GTA series, so why don't you give us a comment on this?
Well, you can't really rape anybody in that game. I mean, if the said, you know, mistress of the night gets into your car and you park it in a dark
mistress
alley.
Mistress of the night? Keep going.
You park yourself in a dark alley, your car shakes for a while, you get 125 health, and then she goes on her merry way.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can beat her and get your money back, though.
Yeah, but that's mean, and I don't do that.
Okay. Anyways, what were we talking about? I don't even remember.
And there aren't any points in the game. I mean, it's just how much money you have. That's not points.
Yeah, that's very different from points. Amanda, you also seemed very interested in this story, and in the what was their name again? Sex Workers Outreach Project USA?
Yeah, my first thought was, is this a union for prostitutes? Or I was wondering exactly what this group was, and I believe you did some extra research on that after we talked about it.
I went and looked around a little on their site, and yeah, that's basically, I mean, I guess they want prostitution to be legal in all forms and everywhere.
In all forms. They're everywhere.
Yeah, they're like a sort of unionized prostitution ring, I guess. A very, very strange organization, very strange website. I wish I'd written down the address, but I haven't. But you could easily find it if you look up this story on GameSpot. If you check our show notes, I'm sure we'll have it in there as well. And yeah, it's very, very weird. I don't really know what to say about it. It's just very strange. Like, they don't... The idea, I guess, that they had was that I mean, they talk about, they cited a report from 2001, I believe.
Okay.
About the original Grand Theft Auto, where a guy had said, David Walsh is the name that's popping into my head for some reason. He had said that, what?
In GTA 1 and 2, you actually do get points.
This is GTA 3 we're talking about.
Oh, never mind.
This guy, he reporting for a family advocacy group of some sort, had said that it playing games like GTA, playing violent video games like GTA affects children, and they're more likely to go out and imitate the actions that they see in the video game. So I guess the idea behind this is that the prostitution group thinks that people will rape and kill prostitutes in the game, so they'll, children specifically, will rape and kill prostitutes in the game, so they'll go
children.
Out and do it.
Good.
In real life.
Yeah, children running around raping and murdering prostitutes.
It's a dark
likely
next generation
scenario.
That we have coming.
With a chainsaw.
Into the mic, Norris.
With a chainsaw.
With a chainsaw. Oh my god, that's disgusting. Okay, anyways, going on from that, before we open up the phone lines, like I said, we were just at the improv show. Norris and I left early. Amanda stayed a little bit longer. And they do a bit called, what's the bit called?
They were doing The World's Worst. I'm not sure it's on that sheet. They end all of their shows with a game called The World's Worst.
Yeah.
And the very last topic which got brought up for the
evening. Wait, you need to explain what World's Worst is.
World's Worst is when the whole troupe lines up in a row and they each step forward performing or saying what they think the world's worst of whatever the topic is, and that
yeah,
can be an
the topic,
occupation.
The topic is given by the audience,
yes.
Right?
Yes, an audience members pick an occupation or an event.
All right, so one of the topics that came up for world's worst was...
Tonight, the very last one was world's worst video games.
World's worst video games.
And I would like to read to you some of what the improv troupe came up with.
That would be great.
First of all, going off of our last news story, we came up, the improv troupe came up with Prostitute Corner Go Round, and also a game titled Grand Theft Auto Amish Town. I believe
yes.
That was our own Todd Jansen. We also came up with, this is one of my favorites, the Dick Cheney Hunting Challenge.
Oh, fantastic. I would pay to play that.
I know. I would too. Find a philosophy major a job.
Ooh.
That one would be really tough.
That's a hardcore game.
I'm not sure you could beat it.
Wait, Dick Cheney Hunting Challenge. You know, right after that news story came out, there was actually a Flash game released, like, immediately.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
Another one they came up with was Drink Drink Revolution. Popular among the
revolution.
College students. Phil, Phil on the improv troupe actually mentioned after that he thinks it's ridiculous that there would be a game where he'd have to say, wait, I have to get up and move on these pads. Because he thought the whole point of video games was to, you know, sit around and chillax.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
They also came up with, this was Lisa Burton, Shoot 'em Up My Little Ponies.
Oh, fantastic.
And also, I believe this was Will's, Snood.
Ooh. World's worst video game. Okay, I would have said 50 Cent Bulletproof. All right, we're back, actually, and... I think we have somebody on the phone with us.
And who is that?
Somebody is on the phone.
Who is this?
It's B.A. Penguin from EvilAvatar.com.
Oh, my gosh. That is huge. This is actually, I think you're the first of the staff members of Evil Avatar, so to speak, who have called in ever.
Ooh.
So this is really exciting for us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
We're doing pretty good. I think you're doing good, right, Amanda?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Have you been listening in for most
yes,
of the
Yes, I have.
Awesome. What do you want to talk about? Like, what caught your ears from the news this week?
Oh, well, I don't know. of course, we had the GTA topic was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that was so weird. Like I said, it was just one of the most bizarre stories I think I've heard in a long time. Actually, I should state this right now. I'm glad you brought that up. I just had a phone call before you called. Aaron King, who is a person over here on campus, said he went on the record to state he thinks he would support the cause of the sex workers outreach people because they have so few causes, he said, that he thinks we should throw them a bone for this one.
Phil, you were on their website. Do they have
I don't know.
Causes?
I didn't really spend a whole lot of time on their website,
okay.
To be honest. You might be surprised at that, but...
I just think it's funny that they picked on such an old game.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like,
cause, well,
it's almost point. Why didn't they? I mean, I haven't played the San Andreas one. There's hookers in that, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, yeah. They said. I guess what I'd heard was they quoted the study, which was from 2001 about GTA 3. But they also said, I think, that in San Andreas, there's like a hint of, like, they hint at raping someone at one point during the game somewhere. So they talk about.
I mean, that's just not cool. So
yeah,
they got a point there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, but I guess it's like just something they hint at, but it's not actually in the game. I don't know. I don't know really what they were talking about. So it's been a long time since I've played San Andreas.
Yeah.
So, B.A. Penguin, right? That's
you can call me Nick.
Nick, fantastic. So how about, I was going to ask you a couple questions about just like running Evil Avatar, I guess. How would you say, just out of curiosity, how do you like choose what news stories to post and what not to post?
Well, basically, you know, it's a community run site. So yeah. A good majority of, you know, maybe 50% of our content comes from stuff that users submit. Basically, it goes into a queue, and the editors can check the queue, kind of verify links, and pretty it up to make it postable. Mm-hmm. So that's a good part of it. And then, you know, the other thing, I got a good collection of bookmarks of gaming sites that I check every morning, and you know, hit those up and try and find interesting news stories and post that up.
Yeah, that seems like a good way to go about it. Amanda, what do you think?
I'm wondering, how many people do you guys have working on stories at that site?
On the site, we have four editors, actually.
Okay.
There's four editors, but it's, like you said, it's actually community-based, so
right,
anybody
yeah.
can submit a story.
It's a good thing we are, because the community definitely helps us big time, and
yeah, I think,
especially like the little known stories, so like things coming from like forum posts and stuff, especially
yeah.
community members dig up pretty well.
And
that's the kind of thing, you know, with only four editors, you know, during the day, it's usually during the day, there's two of us pretty much there, and there's two of us during the night as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it varies. Like right now, I've been, you know, on the site all night while I'm listening to the radio show, so.
Which is awesome, by the way, that you are. Yeah, and it seems to me like community is definitely the big draw of Evil Avatar, and that's, I think, like, because it lets users post, that's part of the reason they get drawn into the community, because they're able to post and respond on every story, so.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we pride ourselves, too, on, like, not censoring things, really. I mean, we don't want, you know, racist things on there or,
yeah.
You know, blatantly derogatory kind of things. But other than that, you know, we don't heavily moderate things much at all. We just mm-hmm. let things run their course. And
yeah, and I mean, with people like Caligacy on there, it's obvious that that's the case. Okay, so I guess my other question is, this is the sort of hardball question, so get ready.
Okay.
What do you say to all the people, and I've been like this from time to time myself, I'll own up to that, although I go kind of back and forth on it, but what do you say to the people who accuse you guys of having a sort of bias towards, obviously the big one that people on the forums point to is towards Microsoft, or even
right.
towards anything else, or against Sony, or anything like that?
Well, you know, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it goes in spurts too. You know, recently, we'll put it generalized, say in the last like 6 months, yeah, we've been biased towards Microsoft because Xbox 360, that's the focus and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time frame, there's been a lot of negative Sony news and a lack thereof of, you know, Nintendo news.
Yeah.
So, you know, it appears like we might be biased, but, you know, I mean, that's not really the case. The other thing too to remember, like at least, you know, this is my first console launch and being involved with like a web-based, you know, news organization like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with Microsoft being an American company, we get a lot of PR contacts and stuff like that.
Yeah, that
so,
makes sense.
So, you know, we have access to more information.
Yeah.
As we get closer to the PS3 launch, I don't know how Sony's going to, you know, help us and what's going to happen there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, hopefully, you know, they contact us and they can, you know, give us good information and stuff like that as well.
So do you think as the PS3 launch gets closer and the Revolution launch, we'll sort of see maybe sort of like the pendulum swinging the other way and maybe see more stories from those two and, you know, less stories from Microsoft, or what would
oh,
you
Oh, I definitely think so. I think you can even see in the past like couple of weeks the PS3 stuff has really started to pick up.
Yeah, and I remember the other night I looked on the site and I saw right at the top two Nintendo stories right in a row. And I was pretty amazed by that, just that there were two Nintendo stories right in a row.
I can guarantee by E3 time, it's going to be mostly Nintendo and Sony, and then we'll have, hopefully, the Halo 3 announcement from E3. Something big. Microsoft is definitely going to have something pretty big at E3.
Yeah, because
to not get overshadowed by the Revolution announcements. And
there's
the going
to be all that hype from the new systems. They're going to have some way to combat that. So, my last question for you before I let you go: what are you playing right now? I'd like to know.
What am I playing? Civ 4.
Civ 4. Good call. I've been playing that as well. And like I said earlier, Norris played it this afternoon. I played for a little while, but I started getting destroyed by barbarians, which is embarrassing.
It totally perfected that Civilization franchise.
Yeah, it's actually, this is also embarrassing for me to say, but it's the first Civ game I've played, but I'm hopelessly addicted, so.
Yeah, and console-wise, I'm playing Condemned, and that's pretty much about it right now.
How is Condemned?
Condemned is really good. Very freaky. It's another monolith title that's similar to Fear in the sense, it's a horror first-person shooter-ish kind of game, and I think Condemned does a better job than Fear did in keeping the atmosphere through the whole game. Fear kind of got a little more action-oriented in the middle and kind of lost its edginess, while Condemned keeps it all the way through.
Yeah, and I can see that. Yeah, I can definitely see that. I'm thinking about getting Condemned for the PC when it comes out, if it ends up being an okay port. I guess we'll see about that. But anyways, so thank you so much for calling in. We'll maybe have to set up a longer, like an extended interview sometime in the future.
We could do that.
That would be very fantastic. Well, thank you a lot for calling in and sharing your opinion with us, and I hope we'll hear from you again.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
Yes. Same
thank
to you.
You.
Same to you.
Bye.
In the meantime, we're actually going to play. We got our first ever MP3 question from Kelly. You see, we're going to play it right now for you, and then Norris and I will give our comments on it. You ready for this, Norris?
Roger that.
Fantastic. Let's play this.
Hey, Kafka. This is Legacy from the Evil Avatar forums. My question for you is: what do you think of Sony's potential PlayStation 3 hub service? Do you think it'd be able to go toe-to-toe with Xbox Live right away, or do you think we'll end up having to wait almost a whole generation before Sony can even come close to offering as intuitive a service as Xbox Live currently offers? Also, I have another question, which isn't exactly from me, but it's from Bobbler from Evil Avatar. He wants to know why Mr. Fumito Ueda of Shadow of the Colossus and Eco fame is the best person in the world, and what color shirt do you think would look best on Mr. Ueda?
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Caligacy, for sending that in. Thank you so much. All right. So what... Okay, first question was about the hub service, right? Norris, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? What do you think of Xbox Live, I guess? Because I've never gotten your opinions on that. And then let's go from there to what you think of the hub service.
Xbox Live on the original Xbox was pretty simple. On the Xbox 360, there's a lot more menus and stuff like that. But it's still good and quite simple. I think the Sony is going to use that and as like... I think they're going to use a lot of the same things from that in their system.
Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people are thinking, and it would surprise me. I would be very, very, very shocked if they did not use a lot of the same things as Xbox Live. Sony has said, I guess, that their service, they want their hub service to go above and beyond what Xbox Live can do on the 360. I'm not really sure what they could do that could go above and beyond it, but I think if they just do the same thing that Xbox Live is doing, it's going to be very popular, and it's going to be very successful. So, I don't know. I think
I think it can easily be as successful as the Xbox Live as long as they just follow the same guidelines that Xbox Live uses.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. As for, what was the second question? Why Ueda, I believe is his name, of Shadow of the Colossus and Eco fame, why he's the best person ever. Actually, it's because he has a magic lamp, and he has a genie in that magic lamp, and he wished that he could be the best person ever, and his wish was granted.
I can't say anything about that. I mean, it's a wish is a wish.
A wish is a wish is a wish is a wish. Definitely. Okay, so that's...
And there was something about a colored shirt.
What color shirt would he look best in? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he's racking my brain here. I don't know why Bobbler didn't just send in his own questions, but apparently Caligacy does all questioning for him
from this point on. I don't know. I'm gonna say green. I think green would probably be the best color shirt for him.
I'm partial to white because all of my World of Warcraft characters wear white swashbuckler shirts.
That's, I don't know. So wait, are you saying that he should just wear a white shirt or specifically a white swashbuckler shirt?
Oh, the white swashbuckler shirt is the most classy shirt, classy looking white shirt.
Okay.
But a white linen shirt is also very well cut.
And, now, you know that...
A formal white shirt also looks very nice.
You know that Owido isn't a WoW character, right?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter? Huh. All right, well, this is interesting. I don't often get Norris to discuss fashion with me, so I'm pretty excited about this. So, all right, well, that's our answer to Kelligacy's question. I hope that was satisfactory. You know who helps out with the University Register by writing a weekly article? Guess.
You?
Me.
Oh, that's great.
I write a weekly video game article, or I shouldn't really say weekly. It's whenever I get it out, which is usually ends up being like once every 2 or 3 weeks. But
good deal.
Yeah. I just did, I think this week I did a review of Dragon Quest VIII, so it wasn't a very good review. Ouch. Don't go read it. I shouldn't be saying that. All right. We have an email that we got in quite a while ago that I'd like to read. This is from Andrew, Track Zero, on the Evil Avatar forums. And he said, I'd just like to say, with regard to Sony's delays with the PS3 stories this week, he gives us a couple links, which includes the story I'd mentioned earlier about how Sony is having a big presentation at the Game Developers Conference where they're supposed to give more specifics about the PlayStation. At least now we're finally seeing some movement with regards to the system and with next month's upcoming details regarding system specifications. It's a sure guess we'll finally see some game demos at this year's E3. Though I'm not exactly what you consider a Sony fan, it is nice to see them... Oh, gosh, I'm not being able to read. It is nice to see them taking their time to try to do things right, but though if it actually goes off without a hitch, remains to be seen. This year's E3 really should be exciting. 360, PS3, and Revolution showing off their stuff. I agree completely. I had actually really wanted to go to last year's E3 because I knew that they would be unveiling the PS3 and the Revolution and 360 info, but... I realize now, actually, that it would probably be a lot more exciting to go to this year's E3 where all the stuff has been unveiled and now you're really going to be able to get into it and play it and all of that.
See a lot of beautiful games.
Hopefully. Not a lot of beautiful women. Not as many because of the new ban. Not ban, I guess, but the new booth babe restrictions that I talked about. Did Norris, you haven't downloaded
I didn't hear about this.
You should really download my first two podcasts for this. I talk about that in my first one, I think.
All right.
So, anyways, you'll have to check that out later.
Okay.
But anyways, yeah, so I agree completely. It should be a very, very exciting, very, very exciting E3. And yeah, I hope we get some people from Evil Avatar who get to go and who can report on it. I really would love to go, but I doubt I will be this year, unfortunately. But hopefully we'll get some people who will, and maybe we'll get some people to call in as well afterwards. And
there we go.
Ooh,
there
we have a phone call. We have a phone call. We're putting you on the air. Hello.
Hello, Phil.
Who is this?
Hey, it's Track Zero.
Oh, wonderful. You saved our life. Did you? Have
it
you
sounded,
been?
Yeah, you're getting a little boring, so I decided to call in there.
Yeah, that was terribly boring. And I see Jeff Wool has joined us in the chat room now. I don't think he was there before. That's exciting too.
Yeah, he just popped in.
Oh, wonderful! Welcome, Jeff Wool. Anyways, so how are you doing tonight? How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I'm working this weekend, but other than that.
So you'd already sent us an email, but did you want to comment on any of the other stories that we talked about? I know you sent the email before we did the news segment. So
yeah, I don't know what this week we had the DS web browser thing. I guess that was big news.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. What are your thoughts on that?
I didn't think about it before, but when you pointed out it, you have to pay for it. That didn't even occur to me. Like. I don't know if I'm willing to pay for a web browser, you know what I mean? $35?
Yeah, I know. It's not just paying for a web browser, but you're paying quite a bit for a web browser as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. That I agree with you. That was and also like I had said, I mean, if you're somewhere where you can use wireless internet, there's probably going to be computers around.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could see a few cases where it might be useful, but yeah, I don't know. Well, it something Nintendo should consider bundling with the with the system. Why not with the new DS even?
That would be actually, I think, a really good idea. Very good. So I wouldn't be surprised
if Nintendo's
to see
listening.
That. Yeah,
there's $1 million idea.
Nintendo, if you're listening, send this man a check immediately.
He's
and
a genius.
Put him on your staff. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, despite being all cynical about the price and about how useful it is, I really do think it's cool that Nintendo's trying to do other new stuff too, though. So, I don't know. So, anything else that you need to?
Oh, I don't know. Your new co-host for this week is doing all right there.
Which, Norris?
Norris.
Ah, thank wonderful.
You. He's I just mean, aside from the Pokemon, and he plays Horde, but I mean, we can forgive him.
Oh, come See, on, we're not so bad. We're just ugly.
That's true. Yeah, he's just our guest host for tonight, but Amanda's actually going to be the new full-time host with me.
Really?
Co-host. Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, so hopefully you've been enjoying her as well for the short time that she was with us.
Yeah, she's doing all right.
Good, good. I'm glad you think so.
Well, I better let you go because I think Jeff Fool wants to call in there.
Ah, Jeff Fool's going to call in. All right, well, here's what we do. We'll do. We're going to leave. We're going to go into a song. Thank you for calling, Craig.
No problem.
Yeah, have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Take it easy.
Yes. See ya. Can we have somebody on the phone?
Hey, how's it going, man?
It is growing great. This is Jeff. Jeff Fool, right?
Yep. Jeff Fool, Jeff, whatever you want to call me.
I want to call you everything that I possibly can, so I'm going to call you both randomly.
Jeffy McJeff Jeff.
That as well. Jeff Fool is the guy who provides us web space for the podcast. So everybody, a round of applause for Jeff.
Yay, me. Yay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
How are you doing tonight?
That's okay. It's all right.
That's good.
Just
good.
Online talking to people, and there's some guy in there actually thinks Shadow of the Colossus was not the best game in the past year. It's crazy.
You know what? Norris is actually of the same opinion.
What? Huh?
I'm sorry. I rescind that opinion.
Oh, he doesn't want to get flamed. Okay, at when we were playing Shadow of the Colossus at New Year's that I talked about earlier, Norris thought it was really boring. And I admit it's not really a game that's really great for playing around in big groups, which was part of the problem, I think.
Yeah, okay, true. I can get that, maybe, but...
But, I mean, I think if he'd actually given it a chance playing it, Norris, I think he might have changed your mind.
The thing was, the kid had already passed it, and all he did was he wanted to show us some exciting battles, and he was too indecisive about where he was going to go and who he was going to fight.
Yeah, he did spend a lot of time just running around, so it was a lot like Seabiscuit, too.
Yeah, but with video games, the whole point is, you know, the actual playing that makes them fun. You don't listen to a movie for the art of it. You have to play the game.
Yeah, that's true. I guess
and that's what that game does that so few other games done so well. Unfortunately, we have most websites and magazines saying games like Resident Evil 4 were the greatest, and I'm sorry, any game that's the fourth in a line isn't going to be a great game.
Well, I would argue that Resident Evil 4 was great, though. I mean, it was the fourth in a line, but it also, like, despite being the fourth, it innovated. Like, it changed stuff from the previous ones.
It innovated from Resident Evil 3, but not innovating games.
Yeah, that's true. I'm willing to, yeah, that's definitely true, I think.
I was going to say, Resident Evil 4, it's not that it was bad, it was a good game.
Yeah.
But God of War was better, so was Shadow of the Colossus, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm willing to probably agree with that. Definitely about Shadow of the Colossus.
Guitar Hero, which if your boy Norris hasn't played that, Guitar Hero is fantastic.
Norris has played Guitar Hero.
I've dabbled in Guitar Hero. That is a fun game.
That was definitely something we also focused on at that same New Year's party. We played a lot of Guitar Hero. That game is fantastic. What about the news from this past week? Anything you wanted to comment on? Did you hear the news?
I did not, actually. I just came in from work and just jumped in listening to the show, man. Sorry.
But that's totally all right. But is there anything just of the past week that caught your eye, or ears, rather, I suppose, or eyes?
Yeah. Actually, a lot of the game developers, a couple of them, the guy who made God of War, David Jaffe, mm-hmm. he stopped his blog and some weird cryptic message he put on his internet site and everything. It's all interesting. That's the kind of stuff that interests me right there.
I hadn't heard anything about this. What's going on?
Yeah, he kind of just quit his blog, saying he was becoming a little too well-known for the things he was saying on his blog as opposed to his games, and okay. He wasn't cool with that.
Interesting. That's very interesting. David Jaffe is one of those guys, one of those developers who has been really getting a name for himself. His name has been appearing a lot lately with
Which
quotes attached. attached to it.
I think developers should be our rock stars, man. I mean, I think that helps further the game cause when they can have a face to put to the game.
I'm totally with that. It's curious that he's not into that, though, that he's not enjoying that. So I wonder what the deal is. I wonder if there wasn't some sort of story behind that. I know he was one of the people, I think, at DICE who had kind of stepped forward and made a lot of comments about developers and about changing the way game publication works, I think, right?
Yeah, he was one of those guys. And he was saying how he goes back and forth day to day where the game should be kind of like movies, narrative, or their own thing,
yeah,
new style of play.
See, that's really interesting. I like that. I want to hear more developers talking about that. I think there should be an actual dialogue about how games should be created, whether it should be something that's more like movies or whether they should be, you know, what the theory behind games is, I guess.
Oh, there's a few blogs out there back and forth who they kind of touch it now and again, but it's rarely is it, you know, us only all the time kind of talk.
Yeah. Norris, you look like you have something to say.
I guess if anyone's interested in that thing, a good website to go to would be grandtextauto.com.
Grandtext.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Interesting. All right, I'll check that out for sure. Norris, what were you going to say?
A couple months ago, you were telling me about a game that had a full developer's... they, like, talked you through the whole game as you were playing it.
Oh, like a commentary.
Yeah, that's it.
Gosh, what is that? I was thinking... I'm all for director commentary being thrown into games like in movies. I think that's really interesting. I think that was Chronicles of Riddick, telling you about.
Yeah, Chronicles of Riddick did it, and I think the Half-Life 2, the add-on level they did,
It did. It had little like points where you could hit a button that would play director commentary.
Yeah, I did that. I thought that was quite good.
Yeah, it was very, very interesting in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
I would definitely like to hear more of that. So yeah, that's interesting. I'm going to have to check out David Jaffe's blog. I know I've been there a couple times, but it wasn't something I visited too often, so I hadn't heard about this, but that definitely interests me, so I'm gonna want to check out the cryptic message for myself. So
I'm gonna let you guys go play some good music for us. Do you have any Wu-Tang?
I'm pretty positive we have some. That's another one of those things that I would be shocked if we didn't have some, but I've had so many of those tonight where I'd be shocked if we didn't have any, and then it turns out we don't have any, and I'm just like, what?
That's crazy.
But I will definitely check, and I will play some if we have some, and I'm pretty sure we do. Like,
appreciate
I'm 99% positive.
Talk to you guys later.
All right, fantastic. Have a good night, man.
You too.
All right, we are back on the air. I think we have a caller with us, I guess.
You might.
Who is this?
This is Justin.
Justin.
Yes.
This is our podcast producer, Justin Heron.
Word.
Welcome, Justin. How are you doing tonight?
Spectacular, I guess.
Say hi to Norris.
Hi, Norris.
Hello, Jay. Justin.
Justin,
yeah,
you should be...
It's cold outside.
Yeah, it is. Jeez.
Yeah. Justin, I just have to share a really sad yet kind of funny story.
Okay.
You know, working at a radio station, you get some weird phone calls sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
We also take phone calls and put them on the air for people who lose dogs and such so that they can find their dogs and stuff.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I got a call earlier from a poor old woman who was, like, in tears on the phone and told me that my poor baby, little baby collie named Lassie, is out wandering around in the cold with a sweatshirt on, so you should tell people to look for her because she's going to freeze to death.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. No, that dog is probably gone.
Yeah, that's heavy. I had to think about that for a second. I'm like, yeah, even with a sweatshirt on, that poor little dog is probably frozen.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, that's sad. That is really sad.
Phone call, huh?
Oh, wow.
Frozen to the bumper of some semi-truck somewhere.
Oh, no. That's so sad.
You know, the first thought on that trucker's mind is going to be, sweatshirt.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, okay, boy. So how are you doing tonight, and what do you have anything to talk to us about? Like, anything you wanted to comment on? You listened to the news?
I caught the last half of it.
Okay.
How much profanity am I allowed to use exactly?
None.
Okay, none?
Actually.
Less than
well, me. Well, I can't really comment on the whole Uwe Boll thing then.
Okay.
I was forced to sit through, which one was it, House of the Dead?
Yeah.
And,
oh, really? Interesting.
Nothing has ever made me want to take my life more than having to sit through that movie. It was just garbage.
Oh, my God. What was so bad about it? Like, I've heard stories about it. I've never seen it. I don't think, Norris, you've never seen it.
I don't think so.
Give us a clue here.
First off, okay, here's the thing that probably I should have stopped watching right when I found out. But right in the beginning, they give you the main character's story or whatever. But it's pretty much set up as, well, I'm glad I survived, but now I'm going to have a flashback of how all my friends got murdered. And and then you're just like, so the whole rest of the movie, he's trying to build suspense as to who's going to survive, but in the beginning, you know who survives.
That's pretty terrible.
So, big story flaw right there.
Is that also the one, and I think I remember, is that the one that has clips from the video game in it?
Yes. Yes, it does. And it looks like it was shot with, you know, portable handycam.
Yeah.
And everybody's a horrible actor, and, I mean, I'll give him credit. He tried to compensate for that by, you know, hiring actresses with particularly large breasts.
Yeah.
But other than that, there was no merit to the movie whatsoever.
Wow. Well, Harl from the chat room says House of the Dead was incredible.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And Jeff Wool says Dogs on Bumpers. That's a great band name. So
Bull is my hero.
That's what we got going on in this chat room here.
Oh,
I really like this
goodness.
Chat room idea.
I logged on to the chat room.
Oh. I'm really glad we have it set up. I hope we do that again next week. That'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, no, I agree that Uwe, as far as I've heard, all his movies sound horrible. I think sometime soon I shall have to.
Yeah. I was going to watch Alone in the Dark because I heard it might be a little better, but then, you know, of course, you hear from everybody that it's horrible and you just don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Blood Rain looked like it might have, I mean, it's got Ben Kingsley in it. How can you argue with that?
Yeah, I
mean,
but I heard it was like Ben Kingsley's worst role ever.
Oh,
ever.
No.
And I just can't understand how he went from Gandhi to Vampire King.
Yeah, that's...
The transition doesn't seem to work for me. Like, how does
oh,
it...
Oh, goodness.
It makes my head dizzy.
Yeah, that is kind of mind-boggling at the same time.
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't know. I was doing my usual perusing of other video game news while you were going over your video game news.
Okay.
There was a. Did you get the story released about they finally came out with why the Xbox 360 supplies were so low for these first couple months that it's been out?
I didn't talk about it on air, but I think I saw the post on Evil Avatar. It was something about memory chips?
Yeah, it was like a memory chip of some sort, and pretty much Xbox pointing the blame at their suppliers, and then the suppliers going, well, they didn't tell us the numbers, and yeah, kind of crappy. But I found really cool news.
Yeah, what's that?
Really, really super cool news. If you're a gamer and you have a cell phone, a company named Vampent at their website, vampent.com, which is V-A-M-P-E-N-T.
Okay.
VNES, an NES emulator for mobile phones.
Okay.
And basically all it is a little program. You can actually download it. Otherwise, there are different versions, I guess. And
wow.
It boasts that it has perfect sound and speed. You can run it on a lot of Nokia phones right now.
Okay.
And basically play all of your NES ROMs that you own and obtained legally your cell phone.
I don't have a cell phone as of yet, and I've been thinking a lot about getting one. I might have to base my purchase completely on whether or not I can play NES on it now. That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that pretty cool. I mean, given my biggest problem would be buttons, because cell phone buttons don't really work so well. But
I also want to announce on the air for everybody who's interested, we keep talking about the chat room. The chat room is www.bapenguin.com/chat.php, and that's where you can go and you can chat with us, and it's pretty funny.
That is outstanding. BAPenguin.com.
Yeah. And for everybody who's enjoying Justin being on the air with us, a lot of people seem to like you, Justin. And you guys should probably know, Justin is actually going to be more than likely my full-time co-host this summer.
Yeah, it'll be sweet.
Yeah, because most of the people on campus are going to be gone. And Justin will be my co-host, and that'll be a lot of fun.
That'll be fun. I might even make the trip up there to be in the studio with you to do the co-host.
That would be fantastic.
That'd be lovely, I think.
Okay. Well, anyways, thank you so much for calling in, and have a good night.
Yeah, you too, man.
Yep, see you later.
Bye.
All right, we're back. Norris, say hello.
Well, we just got a very interesting email.
Yeah, we have an email to read off. We're going to read off this last email and then play one final song before we go for the night. This is an email from Brian McAllister, who I also believe is Harl in the chat. I don't know if that's Harl or Harley. I don't know how he wants it pronounced exactly, but it's H-A-R-L-E. And he sent us an email as I think Jeff Will said when he called. He was the person who had been saying that he didn't think Shadow of Colossus was very good. And he sent an email about it. This is what his email says. So they keep saying how Shadow is so great. It's really not that great of a game by itself. The simple fact that Ico was a sleeper hit. Ico, I think that's how it's pronounced. Ico, one of those two. Oh, we got a phone call. Let's hook that up. Okay, hello?
Hey.
Who is this?
This is Justin again.
Justin, welcome. How are you?
I'm not on the air, am I?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, fun. I just wanted to request a song.
Oh, gosh. Well, we're actually closing right after this story, so.
Are you?
Yeah, and we have one last song that we have set up already, so we wouldn't have time to fit it in.
Did you play that the one song that I told you to play like 2 weeks ago?
What song?
MC Lars.
Oh,
jeez. Hot Topic is not punk
no,
rock.
Yeah, I can't remember if I fit it in.
Oh.
I'll definitely put it in. Remind me, and I'll definitely do it next show. So,
okay.
Do you want to comment on this email with us as long as you're here?
Oh, yeah, might as well.
Okay, so Brian McAllister, Harl from the chat room, he says, so they keep saying how Shadow is so great. It's not really that great of a game by itself. The simple fact that Eco was a sleeper hit garnered Shadow much of its success. The game is short. Several of the bosses are boring. The time spent in between bosses is incredibly boring. Compared to games like Resident Evil 4 that excel above every other game in its specific genre, Shadow does not deserve Game of the Year. So, I don't know. Justin, have you played Shadow of the Colossus?
I can't say I have.
Ah, that's unfortunate. I guess what I would say in response to this is that he says it doesn't excel above every other game in its specific genre, but, you know, is that how we should be rating games based on where they rank in its genre? Or is there something else that we should rate them on? I don't know.
I mean, ranking them within the genre sounds, you know, like an okay idea, because at least then you have a standard somewhat that's set, and you can compare.
But not all games really fit
right.
Well into a genre. Like, you could call Shadow of the Colossus like a sort of action adventure game, but it's not an action adventure game the same way that Resident Evil 4 is. Not even close.
Right.
So I mean, it's really
well,
I don't think
they
it's,
really. Make a new genre for Resident Evil games in the first place with their whole survival horror
zombie
type deal.
Yeah, I think Resident Evil 4 was a lot less survival horror and a lot more action oriented, at least in my opinion.
From what I saw, I agree with that.
And
okay.
I mean, it was really awesome. I think what they did with it was spectacular, but I don't know. I don't know if I really agree so much. I don't think anybody in the chat room is agreeing with Harl, but of course, everybody's...
He is getting flamed pretty bad in the chat room, I'll admit to that.
And of course, everybody's allowed their opinion about Shadow of the Colossus and anything else. So, you know, if that's what he wants to think, he can, but...
My opinion is that it is good, and I've never played it, so I'm just going to go along with whatever.
You should come over and play it sometime. I'll invite you.
I shall.
Awesome. Well, thank you for calling in again and joining us for this email.
Yeah, you too.
Have a good night, and I'll make sure to get your request in next week as long as you remind me. I'll make sure to burn it to the CD. So
do it.
All right, fantastic. Have a good night, man.
Bye.
Bye. All right, so that is about it for us. That's about it for the third episode of the Evil Avatar News Radio podcast as well. So you had a good time, Norris?
Yes, I did.
What did you learn tonight?
I learned how to speak on a microphone and that I have to stay very close to it, otherwise you can't hear me.
Yeah, you need to eat that microphone.
Yeah, and it shocked me. It statically shocked me the first time I touched it. So you know what? I was a little gun-shy about it from that point, but I think I'm doing
yeah, you actually have
doing
a
lot better now. Yeah,
above your lip.
I
That's
can see
weird. Okay, all right. Well, thank you for joining us, Norris, so much for guest hosting with us tonight.
No problem. I'd love to come back sometime.
Yeah, I hope
if I can fit it into my schedule. You know.
I hope you do someday. Starting next week, Amanda will be joining me as my full-time brand new co-host. Amanda, do you want to say something?
I'll be back.
Ooh.